Good evening. Good to see you again, and welcome to the Church of Christ. We're always trusting and praying that something may be said or done that might encourage you, and maybe you'll come back again and worship with us as we worship God in spirit and in truth. So good to see you this afternoon, and thank you, Brother Caleb, for a fine job of reading the scripture. Brother Gary has a beautiful voice and singing, and I've really been enjoying myself just being in your company for these couple of days as we share the Word of God together. On tonight, we take our journey back to the book of Acts, and I hope you have your Bibles with you. And in the book of Acts, we're going to be in chapter 8 tonight. And within chapter 8, we're going to read verse 35 and verse number 36, and then we'll begin our lesson for this afternoon. Acts chapter 8, verse number 35 and 36, if you have that, it reads as follows. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and a eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" On this night, we simply will be talking about what keeps me from being baptized. There may be something that's stopping all of us from doing what thus saith the Lord. You may have heard the gospel over and over and over again, but for some reason you've never taken that step, or you've never put the Lord on in baptism. Tonight we'll investigate this story. We'll look at two characters. We'll look at Philip, and we'll look at the eunuch. We'll look at the conversation that they're having one with another, and then we'll be able to explore what happens when one is being baptized and how is a baptism administered. So on tonight we start our journey in verse number 26. And in verse number 26 of Acts chapter 8, it reads as follows. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Philip has his orders now. He's headed in the direction that the Spirit, Holy Spirit has told him to go in. In verse number 27, the text says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." As Philip is headed in the direction, we now find out that there's a eunuch. He has been to Jerusalem and he's on his way back from Jerusalem from worship. In verse number 28, it says this, "Was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot." Verse number 30, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" Philip is communicating with the Spirit, and the Spirit is telling Philip exactly what to do. Philip runs hither and he joins himself with the chariot of the eunuch. Philip asks the question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He simply asked him one question. The text lets us know in verse number 31, "And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This is going pretty easy in terms of a Bible study. Philip simply asks, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch admits this. "How can I understand except some man should guide me?" He invites Philip up. He comes up and he sits with him on the chariot. The Bible lets us know in verse number 32, "The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And then notice verse 34. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture." Notice something that Philip did not do. When a eunuch asked that question that day, "Listen, I don't understand what I'm reading. And who is this individual speaking of? Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking of somebody else as well? What's going on here in the text?" Notice Philip does not belittle him. Philip does not say, "Man, you don't know anything at all. How come you don't understand this? Why is it that you're not grasping this?" He doesn't put him down whatsoever. Notice what Philip does in verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture. Right where the eunuch left off, that's where Philip began. Since we're in Isaiah, and you already have focused your attention on this subject, let me first answer that question, and then we'll continue to move forward. Notice Philip didn't say, well, you know what? I know you want to know about that, but let's go back to Genesis and talk about Adam and Eve. Now, he didn't bring that up. He didn't talk about Moses and departing the Red Sea. He simply started right there where the eunuch was, and he addressed that issue. The text reminds us that he began to speak unto him, or he started that same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. Philip is preaching now. Who is he preaching about? Jesus. What does it mean to preach Jesus? Well, there are several clues that stand out. Two of them are found right here in Acts chapter 8. Notice verse number 6 of Acts chapter 8 when Philip is in Samaria. In verse number 5 of Acts chapter 8, the text says this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He's headed to Samaria. He's preaching Christ unto them. Notice what's involved in preaching Christ. You're dropping down to verse number 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, verse 5 told us that he's preaching Christ. Now, in verse number 12, we find out that Philip is preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, when you're preaching Christ, you also have to preach about the kingdom of God. They go hand in hand. And so when he's preaching Christ, he's preaching about that also. He's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And they were baptized, both men and women. When you jump back over to verse number 36, or verse number 35, rather, in this text, and it says clearly, he preached unto him Jesus. When you preach Jesus, you're going to talk about the church. When you preach Jesus, you're going to tell people what they need to do in order to be saved. It's a package. It goes together. It's hard to talk about Christ and not talk about his church. So when a text says that he preached unto him Jesus, there's many things that he's covering that day. Notice what we see in verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, so far, all we have is this. Philip is preaching, and the Bible told us what he's preaching. He's preaching Jesus. Why is it that the eunuch is talking about water? What does water have to do with preaching Jesus? If the topic of discussion is that Philip is preaching Jesus, what makes the eunuch say, see, here is water? At some point, in order to preach Jesus, you've got to talk about baptism. And that's why the eunuch says, see, here is water. Somehow that is included in preaching Jesus that you're going to talk about baptism. Notice something else that the eunuch says. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And notice this, it's a certain water. What type of water do you need in order to administer a baptism? You just need water. It can be dirty water, fresh water, spring water. As long as it's water, you can have a baptism. The eunuch says, there's a certain water that they come to. And the eunuch says this in the text, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He's asking a question. What hinders me to be baptized? Or what is keeping me from being baptized? That's the question we got to ask ourselves today. You will hear the gospel. And it is a blessing if you hear the gospel over and over again. That's a blessing. If you hear it one time, that's still a blessing. What's keeping us from being baptized? I want to tell you the number one reason is this. Is us. We're keeping ourselves from being baptized. We're doing this to ourselves. This beautiful book called the Bible tells us exactly what we need to do, and for some reason, we have not done that. We are doing this. We are preventing this from moving to that next step. Something else that may be keeping us, fear of what others will say. I don't know what they're going to say. If I go down there, and I make the confession, and then they baptize me, I have no idea what people are going to say. Listen, people are going to talk about you no matter what you do. You do something good, they're going to talk about you. You do something bad, they're going to talk about you. They talk about you when you're alive, and they're going to talk about you when you're dead. Your casket will be laying here, and they'll say, why'd they bury him in that casket? Why'd they put that suit on him? Why is he wearing that tie and it doesn't match that? They will still be talking about you at your death. Why not go ahead and be baptized? Forget about the fear of what others will say. Do what Jesus has said in this holy book called the Bible. Let's just be baptized. Something else that may be stopping us, we may not be ready for a commitment. Just may not be ready for a commitment. I understand clearly what you're saying in terms of what I need to do in order to be saved. But right now, I am just not ready for a commitment. We say that in relationships that we have with one another. You know, I'm all right with dating you, going to the movies and going out to eat, but we're not going to that next step. I'm not ready for that commitment, and we say that. We're talking about matters of salvation now, and sometimes we just will not be baptized because we're just not ready to make that commitment. Here's another reason. It might be that I just got my hair fixed. That is not my problem. Amen. That will not be my problem. But sometimes there are things that are preventing us from being baptized. And we're going to always try to think of a reason in terms of why I should not do that, which is right. But the more we try to think of that, we are still in our sins because we have not been baptized. Something else that may come to play, it could be that we just don't feel well. It could be that we are sick, and that may be something that prevents us. Or it could be, I don't think I know enough right now. I don't think I know enough right now in order to be saved. I remind you of Acts chapter 2. Peter made it plain and simple. They asked the question at the end of verse number 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter clearly said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He simply told them what they needed to do. The plan is simple. You might just know enough, and you're just not aware of it. You may just be looking for something else, but the information that you do have, it may just be enough. Or it could simply be, if I do this, if I'm baptized and I do this, then that means I got to do the same for somebody else. If I do this, if I get baptized and I become saved, that means I have to do the same for someone else. And I'm just not ready for that. Well, put that part on the back burner and go ahead and save yourself first, as Peter said in Acts chapter 2. And then by the time you start coming to Bible study class and you keep coming to worship service, at some point you're going to fall in love with the idea of wanting to share the gospel with someone else. What keeps me from being baptized? It could simply be this. You know, I was baptized before, and I don't see why I have to be baptized again. But then the question would be, how were you baptized? What happened that day? How was it administered that day? Did it involve water? Because we definitely need that. Was sprinkling involved? Was immersion involved? Did you know that when you got ready to do this, it was for the remission of your sins? There are certain things that has to be in place. And then it may just simply be that we have individuals who are afraid of water. And that is understandable. We got ready to baptize a young lady at our congregation, and it took us about 15 minutes because she could not swim and she was afraid of the water. And we just took our time with her, and we would try to take her down, and she would fight and come right back up. And we just kept talking to her, real nice, real calm. She was determined to do it, but we had to do our part and try to calm her down. And finally, we were able just to lower her down in that water and bring her back up again. It could be that some people are afraid of water. What keeps me from being baptized? The eunuch asked the question, what doth hinder me from being baptized? That's the question that he asked Philip on that day. And notice his answer in 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch said, listen, I've heard what you said. You've been preaching Jesus, and you've talked about baptism. Here's water, the same thing that you've been talking about. What hindereth me? What is stopping me from being baptized? And Philip says this, if thou believest, I need to make sure that you believe. I need to make sure that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. I need to make sure that you believe all the information I've told you and what baptism will do for you. If thou believest, thou mayest, and here's his confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then notice how baptism was administered. In verse number 38, the text says this, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Notice 39, and when they were come up out the water, what do we notice about baptism? Baptism is a going down and a coming up again. The old man is dying, and we're burying him in water. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Baptism is a burial. The old you is burying, is being buried. That individual has died. Your sins are washed away, and you come up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Notice something else that we see in the text. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down to the water. If sprinkling was okay, if God authorized sprinkling, that you could take water and pour it on a person, then Philip would have did that. Philip would have told the eunuch, now you sit here in the chariot. I'm going to go down here to the body of water. I'll scoop the water up. I'll come back and throw it on you, and you'll be baptized. Why didn't Philip do that? Because that is not a baptism. Sprinkling is not baptism. Both men got off the chariot. Both men went down into the water. Philip is going to administer the baptism. He's in the water with the eunuch. He takes the eunuch down and he brings him back up again. The old person dies. He's buried. And a new individual comes up. Baptism never involves sprinkling. A person is being immersed. They're being submerged underwater. There is a covering up, and that has to take place. Romans chapter 6 reminds us that baptism is a burial. We're therefore buried with him by baptism into death. Now, if the old man is dying and we're burying him, let's think about a graveyard. When was the last time you walked through a graveyard and saw a foot sticking out? I don't believe that's happened. They bury the entire body. Baptism is a burial. Your whole body has to go under the water. It's a going down and a coming up again. He administers the baptism in the text. What did he need in order to administer this baptism? Number one, he needed a penitent believer. He has that, the Ethiopian eunuch. He has this individual where he's a penitent believer. He wants to be saved. Now he needs something else. He needs water, and he has that as well. Now he has to take him down, and he has to bring him up again, and he does that. Notice again in the text, verse number 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he, meaning Philip, baptized him, the eunuch. And then the text says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is an example in the Bible of how a baptism is administered. Sprinkling is nowhere in the text. Pouring water is nowhere in the text. It involved getting in the body of water and that individual going under and coming up again. The unit asks the question, what doth hinder me from being baptized? I've heard the information. I understand clearly that you were speaking of this man whose name is Jesus the Christ. I've understood everything that you said about this man. I know that I need to repent. I know the confession needs to be made. What is stopping me right now from being baptized? And Philip said, hey, if you believe. And he made that confession. And the next thing Philip did was baptize the eunuch. You be honest with yourself. What keeps you from being baptized? What is really stopping you from being baptized? If you've been here every day since I've been preaching, you've heard me speak about baptism enough. You've heard me tell you what you need to do in order to be saved. You probably know some of the things that I'm going to say when I get out of this pulpit and extend the invitation. The question is, what is keeping you from being baptized? Why can't this be the night that you walk away from this world? Why can't this be the day that you walk out of here being a happy and saved person? You can do that. You can take that step. You can change your whole life right now. Forget about what you have to deal with on tomorrow. Let's just focus on right now. What is possibly keeping you from being baptized? Jesus died so that we could have this opportunity. The apostles lost their lives so that we could have this opportunity. We have this beautiful book that tells us step by step what we need to do, and for some reason, you may not have done that. Why is that? What is keeping you or holding you back from being baptized? You have to be baptized in order to have a relationship with God. The eunuch understood that. He says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? I want this real bad, Philip. You've talked about this gospel, and you've talked about Jesus the Christ, and now you've spoken about baptism, and I want it. I want exactly what you've been talking about, and what's hindering me from being baptized? And immediately, he gets the confession, and he administers the baptism. This is a simple story of what's involved with baptism, how baptism is administered. The question is, what keeps you from being baptized? What's stopping you? You're old enough. You're wise enough. If you're a teenager and you're in school, if you can understand math, I believe you can understand this. If you can grasp history and everything else, I believe you can understand this. What's really stopping you from moving to the next step and getting your life in order? This could be the thing that will change your life forever. I know you know it, but what are you going to do about it? What's stopping you? It didn't stop the eunuch, and it didn't stop the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. It didn't stop the Philippian jailer. It didn't stop Simon the sorcerer. Don't you let it stop you today. When you hear the gospel, you take advantage of it because you may not make it home tonight. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Right now, all we have is this moment in time. What is stopping you from doing this? From putting the Lord on in baptism? The same thing that we've covered night after night, we're covering it again. In order to be saved, what do I clearly need to do? Number one, I need to hear the word of God. Why do I need to hear it? Well, Romans chapter 10 reminds us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, do I have to believe in God? Yes, we do. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We must believe in God. We must believe in Jesus the Christ. And after we've established belief, we move to the next step, and that is repenting of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Do you know what he said in verse 5? I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said the same thing twice. I think he meant that. if we don't repent, we will perish. What is repentance? Well, God has been so good to us that it brings about godly sorrow. We feel sorry about the way that we've been living our life. That's still not repentance. Repentance is a change of action that results in a change of mind or lifestyle. Repentance is a turning away from. We'll turn away from that which is sinful and wrong, and we'll come back to Christ Jesus. We're repenting. And then after repentance takes place, we then need to make the mouth confession. The same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch made. And what was it that he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We've got to make that confession with our mouth. And then after that confession has been made, we can do the same thing that he did. Someone will take us down and they will bring us up again. But in the middle of going down and we're under the water, something happens. Your sins are washed away. You come up a new person. You still look the same. Your facial features have not changed. But something has happened. Those sins are no longer with you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, brother, what do I do after that baptism? Revelation chapter 2, and the latter part of verse 10, Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Salvation can be yours tonight. What is keeping you from being baptized? What's keeping you from doing this right now? Everything that needs to be in order is in order. The water is ready. The brethren are ready. Are you ready for tonight? Are you ready to change your life forever? If you're not ready to be baptized, and maybe you are saved, and maybe you simply stand in need of prayer, we want to ask you to come as we all together stand and sing the song of invitation.